Hello guys, and welcome to the Faith and Swim podcast, where we dive into the intersection of swimming and living a life for God. Now this is part two of my episode with some of my best friends, where we talk about the importance of having community outside of swimming and also the importance of not comparing yourself and topics like that. So if you have not watched the first episode, go ahead and do that. I mean, you don't have to, but I think it's good for some context. But I hope you also enjoy this episode as Caroline and Nathan start digging into their personal stories and we just talk about that and have a great time. So thank you. Oh, and also a trigger warning. We talk a lot about injuries and we go into detail about them. So if that's not your type of thing, just your warning. Thank you.
Give an example of what Ola was talking about. For me, like, I played volleyball for 8 years, and honestly, every single year, I would be overlooked by other players who I would be told by multiple people that I would be better than them, but yeah, I would not be put on the court. So that's, like, such a heavy thing to, like, go after, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You're being told you're better than this person, but you're not getting that play time. Like, my hitting percentages were always higher than them and everything like that, and yeah, I would still not see the court, and that happened every single year without fail, so I would have to work so much harder to get my spot on the court and to, like, get to shine, basically. And so I would constantly be comparing myself to those people, like, what are they doing that I'm not? Even though I'm being told that I'm, like, doing more, but, like, what does the coach see in them that they don't see in me? And that would be the constant underlying thought every single year, every team, every person on the court, like, why are they on the court and I'm not? Like, what is different between us? Mm-hmm. And so, honestly, when I started getting closer with God around my junior year, it was my last, you know, season before I tore my knee up, but I started realizing, like, I really shouldn't be comparing myself to these people, like, even if it's just, like, a sport aspect, because honestly, like, I started to realize my glory does not come from my sport, my achievements, my play time, anything like that. It comes from God. So I just started, like, stepping back and, like, evaluating my reaction to, like, not being put on the court.
Yeah.
I was like, I shouldn't be priding myself, because I was very prideful too, not gonna lie. Shouldn't be priding myself in the time that I play, you know what I mean? I needed, like, root who I am in God and not my achievements on the court. And I started doing that junior year and I started seeing a change. And honestly, after I did that, I was a starter on the team. Like, I got put on the court more, but I was prioritizing glorifying God through my time over, you know, just praising myself, like,
yeah. And then, like, just when I like actually started really, like, becoming, like, just knowing your story and, like, knowing as a friend, it was, like, right after you got your injury, or no, it was a little while. And so it's like God elevated you to that position, and then it's like tragedy struck. So, like, let's explore that a little bit.
So I was getting D1 offers from colleges to play volleyball for them, and then I ripped everything in my knee besides one ligament.
I'd be mad, bro.
I was furious.
I'd be mad.
Oh my gosh, there were so many nights that I would be, like, crying out to God, asking him, like, why would you do this? Like, why did this have to happen? Everything like that. But then I realized it's because I was idolizing my sport. Like, even after I made that shift of trying to glorify God in my sport, I was still idolizing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would put it above spending time with God. I would constantly be thinking about volleyball instead of God. Like, honestly, that's what consumed my thoughts so much more. And it actually became an idol. Like, I'm not just saying that. Like, it was an actual idol to me. And getting injured and having to step away from volleyball, it grew my faith so much, because it made me realize that God is always with me. He won't, like, you hear stories about people saying, like, God takes care of you, everything like that, like, everything works out, God's plan is, like, what will flourish or whatever.
Yeah.
But this is, like, it actually happened to me, and I saw it firsthand.
Mm.
And now I got put on this path of being a private pilot, or, like, a commercial pilot, I mean. I never thought about being a pilot before, and now, through my piloting, I'm going to go into mission aviation, which I'm going to be flying into these places that people can't reach. I'm gonna be landing.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, dude, like it's literally there's this thing called MAF, and it's an actual company that they go and do this, and that's what I want to do at Rush.
You can fly gear.
Yeah, literally, yeah. I can fly people like on their missions and stuff like that. And so if I didn't get that injury
so
from
much
volleyball,
money. Oh my gosh! If you know, you know.
If I didn't get that injury from volleyball, I don't think I would be doing this. I don't think I would be pursuing like mission aviation.
Yeah, and real quick, it's like amazing how God like through our stories, it's like the sanctification or like the becoming more like Christ and the growth in Him comes in like stages. Because I imagine like when you got put on as a starter, you're like, okay, like God has done a work, now it's time to shine. But then He completely redirects you and then shows you that still like you're idolizing your sport, and through that He's done such a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it's as soon as we think that God is done, we're like, okay, we cool. That God just like completely like blows our mind away. And we also see that like we weren't actually like where we, you know, thought we were.
Yeah. So. Because literally the day before, or like the weekend before I tore my knee, I got a verbal offer to be on the top team of a new volleyball club. And I was like, finally, I'm getting like... coaches are finally seeing what I've been told that they've been seeing that they just haven't, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, finally, like, this is my chance to be on the top team and just show like what I actually can do and everything like that. Because she told me that I was like her most interesting like hitter, like she was most interested in getting me on her team. And I was like, say less. And literally the next weekend, I tore my knee, had to get surgery, was out for a year. And so like I got everything. And then I could tell if I was on that team, I would have been very prideful. I would have been like, this is what I should have had all these years, everything like that.
Yeah.
And so I want to say that was a way of like God saving me from becoming prideful, everything like that, maybe.
We could talk about that.
Yeah. What was like, what was it in the moment? Like, did you expect your, like right after you, what was your first reaction after you did like your
knee?
Oh, I was furious. Like, so mad. I was mad at everybody. I was mad at my parents for no reason. I was just mad at everything and everybody.
What did the timeline look like? Like, so say it happened, like, what was the timeline after that?
Like
event-wise.
Okay.
Yeah, and, like, I guess event-wise and kind of, like, your processing of it.
I was kind of in denial for a good while. Kind of rhymed. Sorry. I was in denial until I got my MRI, which was literally 2 days after I like tore it.
Yeah.
But I was thinking like maybe I don't need surgery, and I was doing physical therapy, strengthening my knee, because my PT was telling me if I don't have surgery, there's a chance I could play my last season. And so in my head, I was thinking like,
you're like, I don't want surgery at all.
Yeah, I don't want surgery. I want to play this last season, and then I can have surgery after.
Yeah.
But then I talked to my parents about
it. You had to do it.
I had to have surgery.
How long was it until you had it? Like, what was it in between?
So I tore it on Mother's Day, which was like in May.
Oof.
And 25th. Then
25th of February or no?
Summer.
Is it February?
It's May.
May.
Yeah, and then I had surgery June 18th. So it was like less than a month in between when I had surgery.
Yeah.
And so during that time, it really gave me. It was after surgery. I really started thanking God for the injury. It was before.
And
why would you
thank God? I want to just understand like your point of view.
Because he really brought me closer to him. Like I really had nothing else to do besides sit on a couch.
Mm.
Literally, I couldn't do anything all summer.
Yeah.
I sat on a couch.
Nah, and I can take you places.
Yeah. Literally.
Oh nah, bro. I could never.
Yeah, because normally you probably would have been doing conditioning.
Yeah, I would have been every morning up at the weight room getting like working for
ready,
my sport.
Yeah.
But that summer I really was focusing on God because I had nothing else to really fill the void of what volleyball left. And the perfect thing I filled it with was God. And that was exactly what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up going to church camp. Still couldn't walk. I was in crutches. Fun, but also really horrible because I couldn't really do anything. I got
to
see.
Crutches are not fun.
Yeah, I had to watch everybody go up on the stage and like worship and everything like that. And I had to stay at my seat, and it was just like really hard to see.
Yeah.
But
just use the elevator at school too.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
I remember using that
stairs.
When I was in a wheelchair. Dude, everybody, you, the doors open, and they're like, oh, hello. And then, like, everybody just gets to know you as, like, that person who's injured or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, at the church camp, seeing everybody go up to the front and then me, like, looking upon them, it just gave me, like, I was sad because I couldn't go do that, but I also felt like I was praising him more when I was away from, like, the mosh pit of people, because I was by myself, and I could really just focus on him instead of focusing on, like, the people around me. I felt like I worshipped him more, I, like, surrendered more to him, and everything like that. So I genuinely thank him for this injury, because I got to feel what it felt like to fully praise him with all I have. And I grew so much, like, in my faith, in my wisdom, because I would just sit there on the couch reading my Bible. And it also just gave me this big testimony that I can share to people about how God, like, his plan is, like, what he has set for you, and he will, like, it will happen. Like, you just have to trust in him, everything like that.
Makes me think, like, that, I mean, I guess, so you'd say it's kind of like a solidifying moment. I feel like those are those moments, though, that, like, isolating, but for concentration on you, like, the, like, I know now what I need to do, type thing, like, I'm gonna relate with God. And then there's those isolating moments that aren't good, but, like, this for you is one of those good ones.
Yeah,
because, like, it can be bad, right, if you don't shift your focus. So how did, I guess that's a good segue, like, how did you shift your focus away from, like, I have my own experience, like, my own injury, but I want to hear, like, about you. Like, how did you shift your focus from the pity, right? Pity can come with that, or, like, the shame, or, like, oh, man, just anything like that. What, how did you shift your attention from that and your focus from that to your relationship, I guess, with God?
Yeah,
like, what did that look like for you?
I mean, before I had this injury, I was a pretty good Christian in my mind, but I would,
when did I it had show you your flaws?
It showed me my flaws big time. But also, I would be, every night after I tore my knee, I would write down, like, a prayer, and some of these pages would be 4 or 5 pages long of me just, like,
literally,
like, venting my frustrations and just asking God why, like I said earlier. And then I started, like, shifting and saying, like, God is going to use this for good. Like, I made that thought in my head, like, evident. Like, every time I thought about, like, dang, I can't play volleyball anymore, and I would start getting, like, pitiful. That's what we're,
like, you'd pity yourself.
Yeah, I would start pitying myself. Like,
throwing a pity party.
Literally, I would put a thought in my head, like, God's going to turn this and make this something new and, like, better. Yeah. Like, he's going to take, like, yeah, I'm going to see a victory, like, through this. You know what I mean? That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think, like, what are some of the questions that you had?
Like, I constantly.
You're like, yeah, God, why did this happen? Were there any other ones?
Why me?
Why me? Heavily on that one. What can I do now? Like, that was basically everything I had.
What do you
and I
want
was
me
gone.
To do?
Like, what's next?
Yeah, like, what's next? I have nothing.
Right, I guess
what next
what's next is after, like, the denial and the pity phase. You're like,
yeah.
Well, now what do I do?
Because,
you know what I'm saying?
My whole future, literally, was going to be focused around volleyball. I was going to go to college for it. I was going to get a degree in, like,
exercise science.
Something. And then I was planning to go pro after college.
Yeah.
And then maybe go into coaching after that. So my whole plan was volleyball.
Yeah.
It makes me think of how, I'm not going to recite it well, but the verse that goes that suffering produces endurance.
James
1:2-4.
Can you recite it? Can you say it?
Okay. I can't recite it, but...
Dear brothers and sisters, consider it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations, or challenges of any kind, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Therefore, let it go, for when the testing is done, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good. I think I hate that verse. I'm gonna be honest. I don't like it.
I have to memorize
that. Like, I think any, like, anything like that, you can really, like, man, I don't like that verse. It's not a good verse that I want to hear. But it's also comforting to know, like, that everything that we will go through has a purpose.
Yeah.
Right. And that leads me to believe that I can do something with what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so for my injury, right, when I did swimming, and then, like, I want to tie this back to what you were saying, and I want to always come back to that, but, like, that same kind of stuff, but then you're, like, you're looking, you're like, what next? Like, what's the purpose in all of this? So for you, what was, like, something that you transitioned into that, I guess that's not a question.
No,
I think, I guess,
that same,
like, what was your next step in trying to go somewhere else when you knew that for yourself it was volleyball, that you had an injury? What was your next step after that had happened and you were moving on? What was your moving on step?
I would honestly say, like, I would pray about it, obviously. Like,
I knew it,
deep
bro.
Deep prayer.
like, real talk, like, because I think this is, like, for anybody who's had, like, some transition from, like, an idol to getting closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first step is always just going to Him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Literally, because I'm imagining, like, I don't think I had, like, a life career or, like, life-ending injury type or career-ending injury.
Yeah.
But, like, I've had many things that happen, and, like, every time the way that I move on, whether it's some big step or some small step, it's always me getting closer to God in somehow, way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Caroline, what about, like, with your knee injury, though? Like, what was your next step after that? You accepted it, and then what?
Oh, yeah, I accepted it, started getting closer to God, and, like, I came to terms with it, like, volleyball is not in my future anymore. I kind of need to start looking for other things I was, like, slightly interested in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I would start doing physical therapy, and, like, while I was doing physical therapy, I would be thinking about, like, what can I use that I'm good at to glorify God? And, or something I have interest in, like, what can I go and see my future doing? See myself doing it in the future. And I landed on flight. I had a small interest in flight, like, being a pilot when I was in sixth grade. And it was just a small thing. And I was like, that could be cool at the time. And now, when I thought about it again, I was like, that, I know that's what I'm going. Like, that's literally what God has for me. It's like I was so sure about it.
Mm.
Like, I'm so sure about it still to this day. Like, that is what God has for me. And honestly, that's what started my whole, like, piloting and wanting to become a mission, like, pilot, everything like that.
What did the, like, so you end up taking the next step. And you're like, I'm going to do piloting. You focus back on, like, how you wanted to do that as a kid. What was, like, how did you deal with those lows? What were the lows look like? Like, a lot of people, like, talk about the highs. But what were the, like the end goal? A lot of people, like, because I even did this. When I had my accident, right?
Aviation.
Do you know what that was?
Wrong.
You remember about it? Well, you talk about the highs a lot. And, like, people are like, oh, how are you doing? And sometimes you'll just be like, I'm fine. Right, and you'll just say I'm good, and you'll try to find that hope inside. But like, what? How did you deal with those lows? What kind of did that look like?
It's just she literally like it's aviation. You're talking about highs and lows. Like okay, you can talk. I was just like, it's just so funny.
Yeah. What did dealing with those lows look like?
When she was on the ground.
Oh my god.
Honestly, it would be like. Listening to
down to earth.
Yo.
I'm gonna hit you with this volleyball, bro.
I really didn't know what else to do, so I would lean on God. Like, I would get more of my word, listen to worship music more. I would reach out to people and be like, hey, like, can you just pray for me, pray with me? And I would be very open and vulnerable with, like, the closest people I had to me at the time.
Yeah.
And I would just talk about, like, I wouldn't bottle it up because I know bottling it up makes it worse, which is what I've been doing recently. But
don't isolate yourselves like some of the other members.
Yeah.
Paul talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he encourages like community.
Yeah.
So you said I just want to repeat what you said so I got it. You said you were talking to other people, right?
Yeah.
You weren't taking it in all by yourself.
I
keep going.
Yeah, because they were helping me carry this burden. Like.
Yeah.
Some things aren't meant to be carried by yourself, like on your own.
Even Job did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. He had his friends.
Even though they had
friends.
They weren't help. Yeah,
they were friends, but they were not necessarily.
They were
company. They were company.
Go
okay,
into that.
Actually, that's
but
a good
together.
That's a good
first
distinction. They were company.
They
were company. They
were company.
His wife was also company. Yes.
Yeah.
Hey.
I mean, in
company
there,
is not friendship.
They sat with him like in silence for years while he needed to create.
They did have that.
The first time I read Job, I thought his friends were right. I didn't know what Job was talking about.
Yeah.
Once I heard the perspective that their friends were actually, like, Job actually hadn't done anything wrong,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
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 The reason I'm really interested in hearing your point of view is because the way that I dealt with it was a lot similar.
Please give them context. Please, like,
so,
let them know what you came from.
So you had your knee injury, but I had, I would rock climb all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys know what a belay is? Where, like, there's somebody on the ground and, like, you go up, but it's just a rope. It's not automatic. Okay, and then there's the automatic one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that is nobody. It's just a, like, a engineered thing, right? So I was on that, and then I was also on a 40-foot, like, wall. And it was at a camp that I'm not going to talk about. So there was a girl in front of me, right? And this was a game, I don't know if you've ever played. It's called Duck Roulette. So you go up, and then there's, like, a row of ducks, right? And on the bottom of some of them, there's either an X or an O. And if you get an O, you get a point. If it's an X, you just throw it down, and you just come down. You didn't get a point. The goal is to get as many points as possible. So we're going up, right? And there's this girl before me. She actually asks to go before me. So I say yes. So she, so we all have our harnesses on. She goes before me. And she goes up, fine. She comes down. And then it's my turn. So I go up, and I had asked my counselor to time me. And not that this had anything to do with it, because I can't go as fast. Because it was, like, at the time I was only 14. It was 2020. Summer of 2020. So I was only around 14, and at the time
summer
I couldn't do that. Yeah.
You were at camp in summer of 2020?
Yeah.
Okay.
So so it was previous year I had done it. Timed myself. I got, like, a number under minute. I don't remember what it was. Go up this time, and I'm going up, and all I can hear behind me is, oh, he's like Spider-Man. Oh, he's, like, beating the rope. Oh, he's like, there's a shape underneath it or something like that. And, yeah, or there's, like, oh, Spider-Man was the one thing that stuck in my mind because of how I was going. I get to the top, and you guys know how you're supposed to jump off, like James Bond. So I did that, and all that happened is all I remember is just falling, boom, and then I was, like, just on the concrete. And so normally they're supposed to have 6-inch pads, which would have sufficed to preventing some injury. But I fell straight on the concrete, which was not that great. But on the way down, I scratched my face. I, like, had this big old scratch right here. And then I just shattered my feet. I don't know how many feet, bones were in the feet, but the biggest metatarsal, which is your big toe, completely shattered. Like, blender, put in a blender, just like everything. And then all the other ones were too. The right foot was the left foot was in the most amount of shambles, but they ended up putting pins into my feet. So I had one pin onto the inside, which held the biggest metatarsal together. I had another one right here, so two in each foot, which held the other pieces together. And then I had an incision here. I actually have an incision that goes throughout the entire length of my foot here. And then on this one, I had it down here and then here. Anyways, I had that, right? And at the time, I was doing conditioning. So I quit conditioning, and I actually have a picture I can show later, but they had, I went in, got cast or whatever, but I was under surgery for, like, 3 hours, so that they had to put it all together, and thank God I had the best surgeon.
So they
had to do surgery, right, and they had to do the PT as well as you, but I was in a wheelchair for the first, for my freshman year. So I went to one high school, right, and I ended up switching later, which sort of spared me the understanding of what I went through. But they had, so that's why I asked about the elevator. So when I would go on and I would do, like, rolling, it would build up static electricity. And this is one of my favorite stories where, like, I would touch people and I would shock them. And I figured this miraculous ability out whenever I was in Target with my dad. And we were shopping and I'm like, you know, I had to go everywhere. Like, if I needed to go anywhere, I had to pick myself up and, you know, talk about being at the lowest of my life. Like, I was literally on the floor all the time. And I was so, like, this is where most of my, like, grit will come from, is people told me that I would never walk the same, or that I would never be able to play my sports the same. And then I eventually did, but not the same. And I would have to, like, you know, I would have casts up to here, right? Mm-hmm. So out of my resolve, I thought, I'm not going to let anybody else carry me. They're not going to do the work for me. So I put pads on my knee in order to walk without feet. And I did it without pads for so long that I gave myself, like, issues on my knees, like, indentions for, like, a month. And, like, finally, my parents got me what is it, like pads? And so that's what I would do. I would pick myself, and I was one of the only people in the hospital that the nurses were like, I've never seen anybody be able to be this mobile. So I would personally take myself from the floor into my wheelchair all by myself, just because of like my previous physical strength, but also because I never wanted anybody else to do anything for me. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going to PT, and I don't know about you, but like obviously your thing would have been different, but they did like little bits, and then you get up to weights, right? Yeah. Did you ever did like the BOSU ball, like the balancing one?
Mm-mm, I don't do that.
Well, they had to do that for me, so I still struggle with like balance and whatever. But like because I work out and all that great stuff, now I don't have as much. But when I was doing it, dude, it was so bad. Like I couldn't even like I couldn't even stand up on one foot. Like, and they said they didn't hit my growth plates, but obviously you guys know my feet are really small, which for me is kind of insecurity. Like, it's not that I could have done anything over it, but like, I wear a size 7.
Bro, do you know how many shoes you can get, bro?
Which is funny because now I shop in the women's section and I get like some other stuff.
I have to shop.
It's not funny. I don't like it, but it's
every time, every time I go look for shoes, bro, size 10 is gone.
Yeah.
And then like, 9s will be there, 8s will be there, 7, anything below 8.
It's not really there. A perk though. I gotta like, it's kind of, and it's kind of the thing though, like, I gotta shop in the women's, because at Academy or anywhere else, they actually don't have men's in my size. Like, that's what's irritating is, because I go and I wear a 6.5 to a 7, and already being on the short side.
Just go to the
like,
kids section, bro.
Bro, they actually don't fit.
Really?
Why would they?
I mean, no, because
I have to go to the women's section.
My shoe size.
I get wider women's size, so like they have like D or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I get the wider women's, but basically like I started my freshman year out in a wheelchair, and then I go from a wheelchair and cast to they take the cast out, and the way that they took the cast off is just regular, but they took the pins out without any anesthetic or any medication, and it didn't hurt because it was just in bone, and I have nerve damage now because of it, because obviously they just went straight into the skin, to the bone. So they put it in, and then they took it out. After that, I had to have it heal, and thank God I was still on the swim team. So I used that as a way to, like, recover. And I had it was really sad. Like, I had to sit on the side, and everybody just watch, and I, like, couldn't do anything, but I was still on the swim team. So I'd still have my schedule, and I'd still go to swim, but I'd have to watch. Like, I'd literally watch everybody swim.
Morning,
without me.
Bro.
Yeah.
That's what.
Oh, nah.
No, bro. it was afternoon, just because eighth grade at STEM,
yeah,
where we were, you would go in the morning, but then in the afternoon, because I wouldn't be on varsity, because who am I catching up to? they would like.
I'm sorry,
they would like. No, but.
I'm sorry, because I'm out here just thinking, like, now,
bro, I'm gonna get you. I was like, bro, he's already like 50 years away.
No. That's actually wrong.
But
he
like,
wasn't laughing
what
that
was
hard
so,
about it, bro.
What was good though, later, but like, it gets good because I had cast, right? And then we're doing the Pledge of Allegiance, right? And just this, I'm in choir class, and it was COVID at the time, right? So you had those spaces,
yeah,
right? So they were doing spacing, and we're getting up. It's like, oh, it's time for the Pledge of Allegiance, and all these kids are like, and I get up, and I'm in things, and they're like, yo, this dude can walk stand, like, dude.
<It's
laughs> So everybody's
cool.
Just like, after the Pledge of Allegiance or during it, everybody's silent, and then afterwards, they're all just like, yo, when can you do that? So, and then it was funny because it was only because I had the, you know, like. The boots. Like I went from cast to boots. So like they have the steel plates, so you can just like walk on it. Mm-hmm. But it would give me fatigue. Like I had just broken all the bones in my in my feet. Like all of them. And what's funny is I did the math. It only took me like 1.34 seconds to fall because I was in physics a year early because we did STEM. So we did biology in eighth grade, and that got me into physics closer.
And I did
the math, and that's how long it took. Cause they have the formula. It's the formula, like the weight
y equals
and gravity.
X initial plus 1/2 at squared. Plus
yeah, so you remember it, and I don't.
It's because I took physics.
Yeah.
So I just.
Yeah, but what was. Well, the reason I asked about, like, your resolve is that, for me, gave me the biggest amount of grit that I could ever have had, and it was depressing. It's just not something you ever want anybody... You wouldn't want your worst enemy to go through that, like... it okay? But it's depressing, bro. Like, it's not fun.
Yeah. So, like, Nathan already talked about, like, personally how his injury felt. Like, having to carry himself and basically nobody else would. Two, the times that whenever I heard you on a wheelchair for the first time, like, genuinely, it was the people who didn't like you talking about you. So they painted you in this, like, portrait. They're just like, oh, did you hear, like, Nathan's in a wheelchair? And you're like, oh, I remember him from middle school. He always tried blah, 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 blah. And so I'm out here, like, at this point in my walk with Christ, like, I was aware of the way that, like, God had used me back in middle school to try not to, like, basically have favors. I wasn't perfect because peer pressure is still very much a thing. And, like, crowd, like, mentality is very much a thing. But at this point, I was realizing, okay, you guys are talking about him as if you know him. But you guys haven't spoken a word. You just stare and watch.
I'm not gonna lie, my only friends at the time were, like, two people.
Yeah, so it's just like, I'm hearing...
But, I mean, let's be given, like, Stan had a lot of drama. And yes. I don't care what those
kids were saying. That's just middle school stuff. Like, me personally, I was always just like, I'm not gonna hear about you from other people. Like, you tell me how you're doing, because people will say their own perspective and their lens and all that. And I learned that in middle school. So, like, realizing not only, I mean, it's a good thing. I hope those people's voices weren't in your ears. Because if I were in your position, and not only am I beating myself down, but then I'm also hearing other people talk down on me. Like, if that's not down to earth, that's underground, bro.
This is the first time you hear of it. I didn't care about it.
I mean, it's a good thing.
People are always people are gonna talk whether, like, anything happened.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't have said that to face.
Yeah, it really gives.
And of course, nobody would say that to them.
Yeah.
Either if they were in the same position, but yeah. people who have that position of, like,
thinking, like, as if they know.
It's gossip. Yeah. Like, they're gonna talk.
They don't see it. Yeah.
And they're not gonna understand. Gossip. If I was in that position, I would want somebody to do this or that, but, like, people aren't thinking that, and that's out of, like, that selfish nature.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, our...
It is what it is.
We didn't talk too much in, like, middle school.
Yeah.
You had your friend group, I had my, like, other people, but it's middle school.
Yeah, it's like, genuinely, like...
It's not that great.
People are gonna talk, people don't know God, people think they know God, they go to church, they're like, yeah.
But the other thing was I had... What's so devastating to me when I was younger is... I had somebody pray for me, mm-hmm. and this is why, like, I always emphasize on, like, we talked with Garrett, and I emphasized this. Somebody prayed for me, and they're like, oh, by tomorrow you're going to be fine. And they felt so confident in it. And I woke up, and I was not healed. And I moved my feet around. Nope. Yep, nothing. And those type of moments are not cool. They're not fun. You wish that they would just go quicker. And you just wish that, like, it wasn't you, or that you could at least wake up from whatever dream you're living in. And in all honesty, it's not something you'd want on your worst enemy, because you sit there in this pain that you can't resolve. It's not something mental, like homework. It's not something that you can just improve and get a better skill or get a better... like, become more social, or become more handsome, or become more beautiful, or any of those type of things. It's something you have to get through, and it's one of those things that, like, you are forced. There's things that, like, people are like, oh, I don't want to do that, so I'm not going to do it. But, like, these physical ailments are one of the things that, like, no, there's no choice. You have no choice. You're going to do this whether you like it or not. And it gave me that grit to know, like, how to get something that I know is hard. And I always think, I'm like, if I could get through that, I know that I can get through this, because it's not that hard. And sometimes I'll be like, oh, bro, it's not that hard. And people will be like, oh, what are you talking about? Yes, it is that hard or whatever. And maybe coming from my perspective, it's not. And then I still have that grace for them. Like, you know, it isn't that hard for me, but it may be for you. But for that, like, I know for me, that gave me a totally different level of, like, hardness, as in, like, thickness of skin, not hardness of heart, but, like, thickness of, like, resolve,
resilience,
yeah,
perseverance,
and resilience. Yeah.
For Romans me, 5, 3, it I do a lot of things. Like, I had to get my knee drained while I was fully, like,
drained.
Drained
like straw.
They stuck like a big old needle all the way under my kneecap and drained some fluid out while I was still, like, awake.
It's the fluid that comes from your body that's trying to heal it, but it can't heal it because it's a tendon. It's a feature that isn't.
Oh yeah, I have metal anchor in my knee because of how torn.
A metal anchor?
Yeah, my ACL was gone.
Y'all are hard for the.
Yo, you're out of pocket, bro. Chill out, dude.
Anyways, I'm gonna keep saying this. I do a lot of things now. Like I say to myself, if I can get through like getting my knee drained and like having surgery and everything like that, I can get through this. Like basically how you said, like I can. I almost compare it to that and use it as a point to like keep going. And also, I was gonna say, oh my gosh, it was good.
God,
about like with like with the thing. What were we talking about, bro?
I don't know. That's all.
You're talking about your like. I'm telling you, like this gave me a totally different level. Like that guy, bro. I think back, and I'm not mad at him, but I just wish like this is why I focus so much on like the guy who prayed for me. Sorry, context. The guy who prayed for me and like I did not get healed, like I was thinking like, bro, that guy did not know what he's talking about. And I also started to doubt, is God able to heal? Is God capable of healing? Like, and this is gonna sound so cliche to you guys, but and it is, but it's also very true, mostly for the fact that like people will say it and they don't understand it. And that's why, and I get kind of frustrated when people are like, oh, you just gotta get through it. People don't understand what getting through it means.
Yeah.
And I sat there, and I'm like, I got through it, but this guy, like, did not know what he was doing. The Holy Spirit was maybe not the one working in him, and I did not get healed. And maybe that was God's plan, but I'm thinking, I wish I got healed. Why am I not healed? What is going on? Like, and then I think I'm past it, and I know I still wish that never happened. But now I know I'm not the same person.
Yeah.
And it gives you the mindset that, like, you are capable of getting through something that's hard without breaking you.
Yeah.
It gives you that. I don't know what the word is. It's like your mental resolve is stronger. Yeah,
perseverance, long-suffering.
I did remember what patience. I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah. What?
So I was going to say, like, my whole injury made me realize, like, I would rather something tragic happen to me than somebody else. Like, if one person on that whole practice were to tore their ACL, I would rather it be me than, like, my teammate.
Yeah.
Or, like, honestly, when I'm in the air, sometimes I'm like, if a plane blows up and, like, falls, I'd rather it be the plane that I'm in rather than somebody else have to go through that.
That's a minor price right there.
That's what goes through my mind a lot now. Like, if something has to happen, I'd rather it be on me. Like, it'd rather
yeah,
be
right.
to me other than somebody else. So that, like he said, like, it's a whole shift of a mindset. Like, I would wish when I first had the injury that this happened to somebody else, but now I'm like, I'm happy it happened to me and not somebody else because they might have not gotten close to God, but no, I leaned on God rather than like fed into those negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you, I think like, I don't know if you can relate to this, but I said this the other day, like when you get to rock bottom, it's a good thing you're there because Jesus is the rock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're at rock bottom and you can't go anywhere but up. And if you're at the rock, that's what God calls himself. I am the rock. And that like, if you lose everything, then you can either, like, forget it. You know, I'm going to just change my whole lifestyle and, like, start sinning and a bunch of stuff. But, like, that, for me, same thing for you. Both went, like, you're going to Jesus. Like, that's where my comfort came from. That's where my refuge came from. That's why he's called the sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
Sovereign. That's why he's sovereign.
Man of sorrow.
Yeah.
Bring up the verse that you wanted to say, Esther, please.
Which one?
Second Corinthians.
2 Corinthians 12:9.
12.
While you guys were like talking, huh?
Oh, I just said that's a really good one.
Yeah, like this is like what I was reminded of. But I'll go before that. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
And I just, like, want to notice this trend. My everything was people. COVID happened. That's where I found God. Your everything was volleyball. Lost it. That's where you got closer to God. Nathan, I don't know if rock climbing was your everything, but, like, you literally could not walk. Like, a lot of people take that for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, having to live life entirely differently, probably waking up early to get yourself in the shower. Like, I don't know all the ins and outs, but you do. Like, losing a huge amount, that's where you find God. It's where you get stronger. Whether it's in your weakness or in your strength that you find God, because people will find God. Like, God is God is very easy to find. People just don't want to find him, yeah. Simply put. And I think, yeah. So I think that's just like a really good, like, thing. Because I was even thinking about Jamisia's, like, story. Mm-hmm. So whenever she, like, lost everything was whenever she found Guy, like, in college. And whoever this podcast is for, like, genuinely, you're probably going to find God once you're, like, really, 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 really low. Like, mm-hmm. when you don't have anybody else. Honestly, that might be the best place to. Because then you have, now you're truly in the secret place. You don't have anybody else speaking into your situation. Those worldly friends speaking into your situation. Mm-hmm. Your sports, your old desires speaking into your situation. The only person who can speak into your situation is God. He's going to mm-hmm. show you how sovereign he is. He's going to show you how wise he is. He's going to show you also how loving he is. And I think that's really good. But yeah. Mm.
That's good.
You got it. Okay, so like with the thing that Nathan said about getting healed immediately, this is just a side note. The thing is though, God still heals and God can still do things like that. But I think the better miracle was the fact that you got healed as you went. That miracle, whenever Jesus like healed those 10 people and they were healed as they went back to wherever they were coming from, and only one person came back to thank God. Like people don't know the fact of the as they went. I think it's like, what would have been the greater miracle? Like you getting healed immediately or you learning the grit and understanding, because keep in mind, one of the fruits of the spirit is long suffering. Like how much better of a miracle is to learn that in and of yourself?
I'm not going
to
lie, bro. I have that, bro.
Like, and then genuinely,
God
like,
got me through with that.
And if you think about like, okay, like Mary Magdalene, she was saved from however many, like her saving was so personal. Like, yes, Jesus could have been glorified, but people probably would have just called it fake. Mm. But like, you know, in and of yourself, and it's produced such a change in you. Not only have you benefited from it, like you understand long suffering, grit, resilience, perseverance, endurance, patience, whatever you want to call it. You understand that so much better now. And that's pushed you to do so many other good things for the kingdom. Like, it doesn't matter what people think or see. As cool as it is to get healed immediately, being healed as you went, like people don't realize like God is the source of our strength. That strength that you had to keep on going, who was that from? God. You had access to it. You tapped in and God showed out. Like people fail to like realize like God is the healer even of little things. Like that ability to get better, that doesn't always come into play. Some people try and they aren't able to. Genuinely. Like I tried to improve my hamstring. I did. I started running again. And once the track meet came, I'm not going to say the coach, but I would get re-injured again. And again, my junior year. So, but you were literally in a wheelchair. Not only are you walking, not only do you have a fitness page, not only do you look more buff than me, like, bruh. Like, that's why I think, like.
Bro, don't make me smile, bro.
All right, bruh. I graduated,
he's a
bro.
He's a laser.
Graduate. Masters.
Laser Academy, bro.
Masters, bro. Masters. Bachelor's.
Doctorate. General.
Lieutenant Commander of General Affairs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's even a greater miracle just the fact that you're able to like obtain and have, because realize like I hear
that's
the confidence.
Though, I have like way more than just that.
I hear
that's
see,
that's the
that's
thing.
Just,
like,
this
I'll
is
tell
just
you guys
the part
like,
that pertains.
The iceberg, and it takes like crazy thing is it'd take like hours to tell you everything about me.
Yeah, but anyways, guys, God is good. God is great. Thank you for just like amen.
Okay, I think, Ola, honestly, you just close it out, like, if you have any final remarks, and then, like say something to the viewer, honestly, like, that would be encouraging.
To anybody who's watching this, whether you're in middle school, high school, college, or you have a job and you're not in college, you can go either route. God will make anything work. Understand sometimes whenever you're lonely is whenever God can speak the loudest. So if you hear that push, like, whether it's in your Bible, you hear a pastor saying it, you're hearing it, you're seeing it in the Bible, or your Christian community is saying it. One, maybe listen. Two, if you don't have a Christian community, you're cooked. Go get a Christian community. Find a church. But more importantly, find a friend group that you can open up to, mm-hmm. ask questions about, and be challenged. Most colleges have ministries on campus. Do your research. And then I think the last thing I'd say is, if you're at your lowest right now, that's probably the best place where God works. God, like Jesus, whenever he was on this earth, like he didn't call the rich and the high. Like, no, he called people who were considered lowly, people who were cast off. So if you're feeling like that right now, perfect. Go to God. He's got you. But yeah.
For shizzle.
That's a wrap. Let's go. Come on.